pride says, I don't need prayer because I can do it. So you are believing then an improper false teaching, improper theology, saying, I can do it, therefore prayer isn't necessary. I will go on my strength and my way. That's disastrous. Right theology says, I believe what God says about prayer, therefore in everything I must pray. And when I believe that, then that affects my behavior.
Well, thank you again for joining us at Live in the Light. My name is Craig Turnbull. I'm your host, and with me in studio is Pastor Robbie Simons. He's our teacher. But maybe you're here today and you're joining us for the very first time. We want to say a hearty welcome to you. But with Robbie in studio, I thought it'd be a great opportunity to ask, hey, Robbie, what is Live in the Light all about?
We're excited and we're thankful that God has allowed us to do what we have been able to do so far by His grace and in His strength. And again, maybe we have some new listeners that just joined us recently, last couple of weeks. I want you to know that the passion behind Live in the Light is to see radical transformation through the revelation of God's truth. We just believe that the land that we live in is so starving for God's word. It's so in need of the truth and the only truth that can really transform lives, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of salvation. The theme verse for this ministry is found from Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And listen to what God's word says. Walk then as children of light. That was one of the messages I heard that actually saved me. That's why this whole radio program is called Live in the Light, because God has taken me and us from darkness to light, and now we are desiring so much that others would be called to the same, both in salvation and in sanctification, to grow in Jesus Christ. So again, maybe you're listening and you're thankful, you are fired up, you agree with this mission and what we're desiring to do. You want to partner with us in prayer. That would mean so much, because we ultimately just want to do what God wants us to do. You would partner with us financially to allow us to continue to be on the radio at this time, maybe in other places as well. And just that if you're excited, we would love to know that you're excited. In fact, Craig, people can write in and let us know stuff too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good time to remind our folks of the website, which is liveinthelight.ca, C-A at the end, Live in the Light. Or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. Well, today, God's truth takes us to prayer, and specifically Luke 18, and we'll be studying the persistence of prayer. And so as we have always prayed, we're praying that God would radically transform your life today through this passage. Here again is Pastor Robbie.
Because you believe in the power of fuel. You do. You know, if I don't do this, I'm not running. Why do you put prayer in your life? Because you believe in its power. Because you believe, if I don't do this, I'm not going to go very far for the things of Jesus Christ. It is that simple. See, this is what I'm learning. The battlefield is in the mind. The Bible teaches us the battlefield is here. This is where what I believe determines how I behave. And if you believe that you can do it on your own, pride says, I don't need prayer because I can do it. So you are believing then an improper false teaching, improper theology, saying, I can do it, therefore prayer isn't necessary. I will go on my strength and my way. That's disastrous. Right theology says, I believe what God says about prayer, therefore in everything I must pray. And when I believe that, then that affects my behavior. And therefore I say, if I don't pray, I'm dead, so I must pray. Pray in order to see what God says will happen, only happening in prayer. See, that's why Jesus has this parable for us today. He says, man, you got to believe in prayer, and you cannot give up on prayer. But not just this verse. There's so many verses we could go through. Here are some on the screen for you right now. Look at these ones in Romans 12, verse 12. Be constant in prayer. Ephesians 6, praying at all times. You know, these are it's kind of hard to find the wiggle room around these ones, you know? It's not like, hey, pray kind of when you feel like it, or even pray most of the time. All times. Praying at all times. It doesn't mean you're verbally or audibly praying. It means your life is about prayer. It's an atmosphere of prayer within your life. Colossians 4, continue steadfastly in prayer. I love that verse so much. And then our final one in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. It's kind of like, what part of this verse do we not get right now? You know what I'm saying? Like for me, I'll apply it to me. Robbie, what part of pray without ceasing are you not understanding? And these are the commands in Scripture. Remember, God will never command from us what he's not willing to do in us. Okay? And this is the power of abiding. This is what the Lord wants to do. This is the belief by faith. I will not give up on prayer because of how much God says he will do through it. This takes us now to point number two. By faith, I will persevere in prayer. So I will not give up on prayer. I will persevere in prayer. And this is the parable now. So verse 2, Jesus said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man, and there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Now, what's happening in this parable? I mean, it's a fascinating little story that we can easily, I think, misinterpret. But two things mainly are happening. We have an unjust judge. We have a judge who is not a fair man. And two times in three verses, the Bible tells us he neither fears God nor respects man. Again, unjust, unfair. He's in it for himself. Jesus is making this abundantly clear, this unjust judge, because he's going to contrast it with his perfect heavenly Father. You have an unjust judge, now you have a widow. And the widow here, we're assuming she's very weak, she's poor. We know she's been wronged. It's important in the context of Scripture, we understand that widows were among the most defenseless in Jewish society. They were often oppressed, they were taken advantage of, they were often legal victims, as seen in our story right here. So when Jesus is explaining this parable, his listeners are totally picking up what he's putting down. And it's here then that we learn from the widow's life or her example what we're learning, what she was doing. We learn a couple of things. She was persistent. Again, this is the point of this parable. It says in verse 3, she kept coming to him. She kept coming to the judge. She would not stop asking. So notice her hope and her strategy was her persistence. She would not stop asking until she was vindicated. Notice it wasn't that she was friendly. It wasn't that she had some status. It wasn't that she knew someone. It was her persistence. It was her importunity that she was showing here that got the results that she desired. So she was persistent. She was also persevering. In verse 5, it says, because this widow keeps bothering me. Literally, that phrase bothering me is causing him trouble. In our day, we would say, this person is driving me crazy. This person's driving me nuts. They won't leave me alone. So I have a child at home who will remain unnamed at this point, all right? But I have one of my children who has taken up the habit of saying, can I, Dad? 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 And just constantly asking me, he's constantly trying to start to learn that if he keeps asking Dad, at some point I'll just be like, if you stop asking me, you can just go do whatever, you know? So I got lots of issues as a parent. I'm trying to learn. I'm reading books, all that kind of stuff, right? I'm trying to grow as a father and stuff. But this child, he'll come up and, Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? Dad, can I? If you promise to not ask me again, then I might say yes to this right now. If you go over there and do, you know, again, lots of issues at home, all right? Lots of issues, praying for God's grace. This reminds what's happening right here. I mean, this widow is coming upon this judge saying, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. Literally wearing him down. And the text says in verse 5, beating him down. Beating him down by her continual coming. He just can't take it anymore. You know that phrase, beat me down? Literally, it's hit me under the eye. It's a phrase for boxers when they give someone a black eye. You're like, well, how does that relate to this judge? Well, probably because she's not just following him around on the court scene. It's like everywhere he goes, she's like, give me justice, give me justice. She's like, stop following me. You're driving me crazy. And she's like, give me justice, give me justice. Well, you just did it. He's like, fine, justice. I can't take it anymore. And his reputation has been wounded. And she's beat him down with her continual persistence in prayer. And finally, he's like, enough, enough. If you promise you will not keep doing this, then I will give you justice. Now, This becomes a fascinating little story that Jesus is sharing. And you're like, well, how does this relate to us? And where's God in this? And where are we in this? Well, let's first understand what the parable is saying and what the parable is not saying. I believe the parable is saying we are like the widow in the sense that we are defenseless and we need justice from someone beyond ourselves and we are so needy. But the parable is not saying, the parable is not saying that God is like this judge. In other words, our God is not someone who becomes worn out by our petitions. Our God is not an unjust and unfair man. He doesn't get fed up with us. No, no way. The truth is God delights in his children. He loves his children. He loves to bless you. He loves to hear from you. He loves to answer you as his child. So the reason then that this parable is so powerful is this. It's the contrast. If an unjust judge will vindicate, will give justice to this poor widow, how much more will a perfect heavenly father then respond to his children who cry to him day and night in the belief of powerful, persistent prayer? Loved ones, there's no question that in this parable, Jesus is saying to all of us, my child, I challenge you to keep praying. There's no question in this parable, Jesus is saying, I'm not done answering, therefore you're not done asking. Implicit within this parable, we are learning our Father requires persistent prayer. Implicit within this parable, we're learning our Father works within persistent, persevering prayer. He asks this from us, that we would not just pray for a day, but we would pray for a lifetime, beseeching him for what only he can bring. Ian Bounds comments on this fact of our God working through persistent prayer. He says this, there is no plea so efficacious, effective. There is no prayer so effective as importunate prayer, persistent prayer, and none to which God surrenders himself so fully and so freely. Ian Bounds' take on this parable is, man, God works through those in a way he doesn't work through any other type of prayer than the child of God who seeks God day and night and honestly wants to see what God will do. See, we're learning amazing things within this, how much God loves us, but how much he wants to hear from us at the same time. You know what's also implicit within this parable? And this is very important for us, is that our Father does not always answer prayer right away. And make sure you see that within this too. And that's very, very important. So see this truth then. See this truth. Here's the truth on prayer. Ready? The truth on prayer is if you give up, you miss out. I mean, that's one of our bottom lines for the day. If you give up on prayer, you miss out on life. If I give up, I miss out. That's what Jesus is saying here in part. Case in point is George Mueller. George Mueller was an amazing man of faith who lived in the 1800s, amazing man of prayer, running orphanages by faith. Listen to this. It says, in November 1844, George Mueller began to pray for the conversion of five individuals. Five individuals he prayed for every day, every day. 18 months passed before the first was converted. 5 years passed before the second was converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 6 years passed before the third was saved in Jesus Christ. 36 years later, he wrote that the other two, sons of one of his good friends, were still not saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wrote this, but I hope in God, I pray on and look for the answer. They are not converted yet, but they will be. In 1897, 52 years after he began to pray daily without interruption for these two men, they were finally saved in Jesus Christ. Listen, listen. After he had died. I mean, just think about that. We get excited for praying for something for a week. Right? And here he was, a man of prayer and faith, and the Lord required him literally at a point to pray until he died, and he would not see his prayer answered until he got to heaven. I mean, I thought about that story, and that's so challenging for so many of us because, well, we're not good at waiting. And I was thinking about the reunion in heaven, though, between Mueller. I mean, it's all God. It's all God's grace. There's nothing that humans can do to save themselves. It's believing what Christ has done. That's the power of the gospel. But still, there must be some sense in heaven in eternity. Mueller sees these two sons of his friend join, walk through the heavenly gates, and they recognize that God chose to use the prayers of this man that he would receive the life-saving grace of Jesus. I mean, it's just, that must be just an awesome moment. And Jesus gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. But that's the opportunity that we have right now to believe in this. If I give up, then I will miss out. I find this so powerful and helpful, right? We're learning here that, I mean, George Mueller, he had to wait, in some case, decades. Decades. The question I have then is, why does God sometimes delay in answering prayer? What are the purposes of God when he chooses not to answer our prayers in the timing that we would want? Three reasons for this too. Three reasons why God sometimes delays in answering prayer. Number one, he wants to see how serious we are. God will delay in answering prayer to find out, are we really serious for the things that we're asking? Is it just a momentary wish? Do we really mean this? Or is it really just something that we're just praying, but it's not really true within our hearts? How serious are we really about this prayer? Secondly, this is mind-boggling for me. The reason God will delay in answering prayer is because he wants us to spend time with him. Now, that messes with my mind in a good way, because this is the sovereign, holy, majestic God of the entire universe. But ready? This is a God that is jealous for our love. And it's not our kind of jealousy where we want what someone else has. This is a holy jealousy. God rightfully deserves all worship because he is perfect. Just think about that, though. He is jealous for your love. So at times, God will see us in our need and our dependence and our crying out and in our burdens, and we're looking to him, oh God help, and we're drawing so near to him. And for God, you got to look at it this way. We're so near to God in our crying, in our dependence. He says, I love this so much. If this prayer is answered right now, they might get what they want and they might leave and go back to the life where they're not dependent upon him. And it's just like, wow. Because the Lord knows the best place we could ever be is closest to him. But if we said a prayer and it's answered that day all the time, God would just be a vending machine. He would just be a store. We'd go, thanks, God, see ya. But in prayer, see, prayer is so much more than even the request. It's the life being transformed in Christ. So sometimes God will delay in answering a prayer because he loves the worship he's receiving from us as we draw close to him in it. That runs pretty deep. And that's applying to a lot of people right now in this room. You got to think about these things too as we mature in Christ. Do I understand how all that works? I don't, but God does. Here's the third reason why God sometimes delays in answering prayers. He wants to see if we love him. Are we more concerned about the prayer itself? Or is God really our greatest treasure? Is he the prize that we are seeking? And remember this too, loved ones. Delays in answered prayer is not about changing God. It's about changing us. That's one of the things I'm learning so much in this prayer series. Again, I've never talked about prayer more, I think, or thought about prayer. My wife and I talking about prayer, leading us to pray together. It's just on my mind, obviously, all the time right now. And one of the things I'm learning, which is so beautiful to me, is that prayer is so much about my growth, my worship, my love for the Lord as I seek God for the things I believe are part of his will. I become transformed in the pursuit of loving my God through prayer. So much more than a list. It's a calling, it's a lifetime, it's a transformation within me as I persevere in prayer, as we persevere in prayer together as a church. So by faith, I say, I'm not giving up on prayer. By faith, I say, I'm going to persevere in prayer. And now this we believe. Here's the third thing from this parable. By faith, I will see the fruit of prayer. By faith, I will see justice. By faith, God will hear me and he will answer. Again, look now at verse 6. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Here's the contrast. Here's the comparison. If the unrighteous judge gives justice, verse 7, and will not God? And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? That's persistence. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus is reinforcing what we've heard. If an unjust judge gives justice, how much more will the perfect, holy God? What kind of attention will this God give who cannot err, give to those who cry, who look to him, who have faith in him? I love what verse 7 says. Will he delay long over them? And then in verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's a question for us all. What Jesus means is, will the Son of Man find that his disciples have kept praying and not given up? Or will he find that they have lost heart and have given up? You see, now here's some theology. Okay, get this, get this. This is where prayer and faith rise and fall together. You don't separate prayer from faith. Prayer asks, faith waits for the answer. Faith leads to prayer, and prayer leads to faith. Prayer and faith rise and fall together. Too many times we stand at the door knocking for the Lord, but we don't wait to hear the answer. I mean, growing up as a kid, I heard about some other kids who played this game called Nicky Nicky Nine Door. You know, some other kids did it, right? And apparently, you'd walk up to the door and you'd like ring the doorbell and run away before someone answered it, right? So, okay, I did. I can't lie. I did it, all right? I did it. And so what happens is you go up to the door, you ring the doorbell, and you run away and they answer it and stuff. You know what we do as Christians a lot? We go up in our desire to pray, and we go up and we ring the door, we knock. And then before we even let God answer, we're running away in the other direction. Why? Something gets our attention. We're not serious about praying. We're not really about the Lord. And then we find ourselves off on the distance. But God is, he hears a knock on his door. At his time, he opens it. He opens the door and he's like, where'd you go? I was totally going to answer your prayer. My child, where'd you go? And think about how many times we've done that. Hey, God, can I? Can you do that? Hey, God, what? And all of a sudden, we're off in the corner doing something in the world. And God is at the door saying, I'm here, and I will answer. You might have to wait a little bit longer than you thought, but I will answer. I mean, this is the power of persistent prayer, to believe in the fruit of prayer. The powerful combination, this parable, notice, of persevering and promised answered prayer. God says, I'm going to hear my elect. That word elect, those he has chosen, those he has saved, his children, he loves you. He says, I'm not turning a deaf ear to those who cry to me day and night. These are promises he is making right now. He says, I will not delay. I will give justice speedily. Now, the word speedily, we have to understand our concept of time and God's concept of time are two vastly different things. Again, we're not so good at patience, generally speaking. Let's have honesty in church. Who here struggles being patient? Anyone? Anyone? Great. And all of you, don't put your hand up. You're lying, right? All of us in some level struggle with patience. Remember, God's time is not like our time. 2 Peter 3 says this. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. See, you can't put your time frame on a sovereign, holy, awesome God. But we do. We're like, hey, God, I prayed. Come on, God. Come on, God. I'll tell you how to be God. And that's where the faith breaks down. The prayer asks, the faith waits. And what Jesus is saying here is, if you continue to ask and you are serious about this, justice will... No, there's so many situations represented here right now to all who are listening that I can't begin to understand. And I don't have the answers for you other than what I know in this text. And the text says right now is, God will give justice in his time. God will answer speedily in his time. God will never, ever lead us to disappointment as we trust in him and cry to him day and night. That's the bottom line for what he he is saying that when he returns, remember the context, when the Son of Man comes, his return, when this world is done, when all is ended, and Jesus Christ gathers his church, that's when we will understand all these difficult situations. They will come together, and God will not let us down even 1%. God will be served as a righteous, perfect, and holy judge, and Jesus Christ will take every child of his and love them and bless them, and not one of us will have one complaint as to the will of God upon our lives. But part of that faith is believing by prayer and praying until Jesus Christ returns. These are the promises that Jesus is making. If you pray, justice will come. If you not give up on prayer, you will see me come and you will see me deliver justice. But he says, again, the end of verse 8, so powerful to me. Look at what it says at the end of verse 8. Nevertheless, so he says, I've told this parable, I've taught this truth, persistent prayer works, I'm returning, I'm giving justice. But he says though, nevertheless, meaning even though I've said this truth, will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he returns? And what he means by that is, in the context of this parable, when I return, will I find my church as people waiting, watching, longing, loving, listening, praying? Will I find my church as a praying people longing for me? Nevertheless, will I find faith on earth when he returns? So think about it. What Jesus is saying right here, when he returns, he's looking for proof of his children. You say, where's the proof? According to Luke 18, 1-8, the proof is in the praying. We prove that we are children of God and we genuinely know Jesus Christ as we pray. See, Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. You're here right now and you do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. What's the good news? The good news is that we were dead in sin, but Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. The good news is we are in chains in sin and subject to wrath from God and under Satan's dominion. But in Jesus Christ, as we believe in him, we see he died for us on the cross. He has set us free. He has paid for our sins. So we are no longer blocked from God. We are brought together with God. God, because of the love of Jesus Christ. You say, how do I receive Jesus Christ? You believe in him. You believe that he died for your sins. You run to him. You call to him. You pray to him. You ask him to make you new. You ask him to save you. You make him Lord. You love him. You say, Jesus, you are real, and I need you to be my Savior, to save me from my sins, that thereby now I will never die and be in fellowship with my God. This is the age of grace. And we pray in this age of grace that we might see more grace. That's why we have been saved, that we would pray for the Lord to work more and more, to shine his glory, to be used of him. That's our opportunity right now. That's the power. And Jesus says, when I return, will I find faith on earth? Will I find my church proving that they are my children by praying to the Father who is in heaven? That's the challenge. That's exciting. And that's the fruit of persistent prayer.
Wow, well, a strong word from God's word today and a message of hope for all of us today. We pray that you receive that from the Lord today and your hearts are encouraged by that. And you face this day delighting in the hope that's found in the Lord Jesus. And loved ones, just a reminder, we would love here at Live in the Light, we would love to hear from you if God's been moving in such a strong way, maybe even just today, providing you with that great message of hope. Our phone number is 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. Or you can reach out to us via our website at liveinthelight.ca. We hope that this series and this message in particular is encouraging you as you continue on in your life following Jesus Christ. But we want you to be aware that there are other messages and other series that we pray would be an encouragement to you as well. And if you'd love to check those out, please make sure you visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for tuning us in today, and we hope you'll be back with us again tomorrow at Live in the Light.